Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Shalom.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm well.
That's good.
So let us start reading from the Zohar, from the Parsha of Hukat, from section 4, titled The Red Heifer. Starting with verse 18. Vayhi Noam Adonai Eliezer. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yikru Elecha para Hai para ledach yuta Kajya ledacha Lemisak ve para de kabilat min shemala uman hulishmala shor kadaa ufne shor mehasmol aduma sumaka kegav kevav varnada diktiv kishoshana bein hachotchim Aduma Gizrat Dina. Speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer. This cow is for the purpose of cleansing, to purify the unclean, which is Malchut that receives from the left. Who is on that left? It is the ox that is Givurah in Zeranpin. As it says, the face of the ox from the left side. Red means red as a rose, as written like the rose among thorns. Red means a sentence of law, since the laws of the left column are considered red. This verse is starting to explain what, basically the different rules about the red heifer. And it's starting out by talking about why it's a cow. And it's raising the question, and it's really not answering the question, but it's raising the question, why is the red heifer a cow? And it's raising the question, why is it red? And it's also raising the discussion point of, what does it mean to be cleansing? Verse 19. Tamima, my Tamima, Pima, Ditanenan, Shor Tam, the Shor Luad, Shor Tam, Dina, Rafia, Shor Muad, Dina, Kashya. O Haka Tamima, Dina Rafia, Givura, Tata Adahi Tamima, Givura Ila'a Dahi Dina, Kasha Vihiyad Hazaita Takafia. Without defect, the Hebrew word is tamima. He asks, it is written without defect. What is the meaning? He responds, it is as we were taught about a bull that has not gored. The Hebrew word is tam. And the bull that has gored thrice. The bull that has not gored means lacks soft judgment. The bull that has gored thrice is harsh judgment. Here too, to be ma means a lax sentence. that is lower Gibul Ra, meaning Malchut, since one that is as such is without defect. Gibul Ra up high, that is, the Gibul Ra in Zeramtin, is the severe and mighty hand. Most people don't think in terms of the idea that there's a Gibul Ra of Malchut and a Gibul Ra of Zeramtin, and that they're different. But this verse is explaining that there are these two Giburot. One is in the frame of Malchut, and one is in the frame of Zeramtin. One represents harsh judgment, whatever that means, and it hasn't been defined, but the word itself, you know, begs the example. And the other is soft judgment, or sweetened judgment. What is harsh judgment? Something difficult to bear. What is soft judgment? Something that, okay, I have to go through this. It's a little difficult. It's something that I did, and the effect is that I have to go through whatever it is. But it's not onerous. It's just something a little difficult. Verse 20. Asher ein babu kada akulach yafa vayati umum ein bach asher lo ala alecha ol al kitiv kada unum habyaver hukam al Memtet begin dehi shlume emune Yisrael v'alecha alav hi ela ima asher lo ala alecha ol haynu dikti betulat Yisrael betula v'ish lo yada'a in which there is no blemish. It is as written, you are all fair, my love, there is no blemish in you. She shines with the illumination of Chachmah, and she is considered beautiful, since all blemishes are healed through the illumination of Chachmah, and upon which there never came a yoke. The word for yoke is ol, ayin lamed. The word ol is spelled without a vav, which is as it is written. And the man who is raised up on high, the Hebrew word is ayin lamed. What is the reason? It is because she is the peaceable and faithful in Israel. And he is not above her, but rather with her, and upon which never came a yoke, is as it is written, the virgin of Israel. And a virgin, neither had any man known her. All of these verses are speaking about the directions the Torah gives for a red heifer to be qualified. It must be red. It must be unblemished. It must be that it has never received a yoke. And the Zohar is explaining what these things mean. What does it mean to be unblemished? What does it mean to not have a yoke? Because these are code words. It's not that the animal never had a yoke upon it, although that is true on the physical level, but what is it really saying spiritually? That it has never done work? It has never exercised judgment against something? These are all the questions that need to be asked in order to fully understand the concept of the red heifer. Verse 21. Unta temota el Elazar mitzvata baskan v'ochnu ha-memtet Levi Lavi Acharon Ela acharon shushvina de matronita de od de acharon la ate besitra de tahor ela mesitra de kadosh ugin de dakya le tahara la itya hivle. Then you shall give her to Eleazar. That is because the prescribed performance of the ritual is through the adjutant to the high priest and not by the high priest himself. And they established it that way. What is the reason? It is for Eleazar and not for Aaron. He responds, it is only because Aaron is the best man of the queen. Therefore, it would be improper for the ritual of this cow, which is harsh judgment. And furthermore, he would be improper because Aaron does not approach this from the pure side, but rather from the holy side. Since the primary function of the red cow is for purification, it is therefore not given to him. Clearly, the cow is a left column item. That's what it was saying earlier about the ox being on the left side, and the red being a left column color. And Aaron, a priest, is from the right column. So the priest does need to inject the energy of the sharing of the right column, but it cannot be Aaron, who is the highest level. It needs to be somewhat lower than that. And that's why it specified Eleazar. But why didn't it say his adjutant? Why didn't it say his assistant? Because once Aaron was passed, and Eleazar became the high priest, who prepared the red heifers? It was always a lesser priest than the high priest. And there's a, you know, I've asked the question just now. I never heard an answer. But perhaps we'll get an answer as we finish this section of the Zohar. Verse 22. Komila de hai para, hi bishva zayin. Speak Busim, the Gomer, the Haitmar Memtet, the Gindahi Sheva Shane Shemita, Uvat Sheva Itkere, Viatko Ovato, the Sheva Tahatsi, call my Hikavet. May ha para begin didacha, vela lekacha via agid it yahiv, laskan hu la shahit, vela sarif begin dila, ishtakach dina besitrao, vekafshin acharon de ihu. Bidar ga shalim yatir dila ba el ishtaha taman ul izdavda taman. Every item that pertains to this cow, which is Malchut, is in seven washings. And we were already taught that. What is the reason? It is because Malchut is the 7 years of the sabbatical year that contains seven Sefirot. Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut, and is called Bat Sheva, the daughter of seven. Therefore, all her rituals are in seven. Come and see, all that is made from this cow is for the purpose of purification and not for sanctification. Although it was given to an aid of the priest, that is Eleazar, he does not perform the slaughtering or the burning, so that no harsh judgment will be at his aspect. Even more so for Aaron, who is at a more perfected level than Eleazar. He need not present himself or be available there. This verse is continuing this discussion of what are the duties of the priest and what is the red cow all about and how do we reconcile all of these different energies. Verse 23. Hai para ke vandita ved efer ba elamishte be etzeret erez vezo kushni tolaat vehai leinit maru veasaf ishtahor vilakadosh vahiniach Nichutz lemachaneh b'makom tahor, deha tahor la yikre, ela min sitra, dimsae v'kadmeta. As soon as this cow turns into ashes, there is a requirement to throw into it cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet. As we have already learned, and a man that is clean shall gather up, and not a holy man, and lay them outside the camp in a clean place, since nothing is called clean except from the aspect that he was first unclean. That's something that people just never think about. Many people find the need to clean their houses, cleanse their houses. When you first move into a house, you have to clean it. You have to cleanse it of the energy of the person who was there before you. How do you go about that? In our generation, people would come to me and I'd say, burn sage, burn mixed with hyssop. You know, we don't think in terms of scarlet when we talk about that. But do we ever think of something as being unclean? Yes, we clean it. Yes, we burn the smoke, the incense, and we run it through the house, and it cleanses the house. We just don't think in terms of our possessions as being unclean first. And it's yet a very important thought, a very important aspect to realize that in order for something to be clean, it first must be identified as unclean. Verse 24. Razadikola haidikti lemedi nidachatat hibegin dekol dinin tatayin dekol inun yatu misutra dim sa'ava kadihu yanka misitra hara yativat bedina kada'a Maladam Hudashnam Mechelev Kidain Kuhu Mitare Umistal Kev Sharan Alma Kevandiel De Hyovada Diltata Bekol Haidina Biatar Da de hai para de raman, ala et seres de gomer, Kideni Talash Hela Dilchon Ukol Atar Disharam Eat Baru the Eat Halashu the Arkin Mine de Hai Hela Dilchon Eat Haze Begake Gavna Dalegabe Kidain La Sharon Bilarnash Tidake. The secret of all this is written for the water of sprinkling. It is a purification offering. This is because all the lower judgments and all that come from the aspect of defilement receive their strength from Malchut at the time when she sucks from the other side and dwells in judgment, as it says, filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness. At that moment, all the sentences from the aspect of defilement are stirred up to rise and dwell in the world. As soon as they perform the ritual of burning the cow down below, and the sentence is carried out in this place, in this cow, they throw on her the cedar wood. Then their energy is weakened of the unclean aspect, and wherever they prevail, they break down and become weak and escape from there, since they see their might broken and suppressed, as it was performed in the ritual of burning the cow. Then they do not prevail on man, and he becomes cleansed. This verse is saying that cleansing of someone comes not from his own actions, but from the other side giving up, not pushing it, not testing him. This is a very different kind of understanding than most people have of what it means to cleanse. To cleanse, I have to do something that removes the impurity. That's what we think. But the truth is, to cleanse, we don't have to do anything special. We just have to be in the right place at the right time when the negative system stops pushing for answers. Verse 25. V'adikere me'nida mayaladaka kadalma Shari bedina v'sitra misava it peshat b'alma hakait kalilan kol zinin misava v'kol zina dahyu ugin kach tuma v'tachara kelala Ila adio raita di oknuha avraya amar rabbi shimon elazar avdat dila yemrun avraya mila avat rach. Therefore, it is called water of sprinkling. The Hebrew word that is used is nida. That means water for purification when the world dwells in judgment and the defiled aspect expands in the world, as by the uncleanness of a menstruating woman. The Hebrew word is nida. Here are gathered together a variety of unclean things and a variety of methods of purification. Consequently, defilement and purification are the most important rules of the Torah, and the friends have already explained this. Rabbi Shimon said, Elazar, you have accomplished so much that your friends will not be speaking of anything following you, since from the great wisdom and wholesomeness of your speech, they will be shy to give theirs. Rabbi Elazar completes this section. There's another verse or two another verse, actually, just one, that's coming from Moses, not from Rabbi Elazar. But Rabbi Elazar completes the section by talking about the water of sprinkling, using the Hebrew word nidah, which clearly represents a frame of judgment and a frame of impurity. When a woman is nidah, she is not supposed to be intimate with her husband because she has a frame of judgment, having had the potential for a child and not achieved it. So she goes into a frame of judgment, and that's why she bleeds, because blood represents judgment. But purification is a process of removing impurity. And this is something we need to understand, that in order for something to be purified, it first must be declared impure. The next verse, the last verse of the section, is called the Reaya Mehemna, the faithful shepherd, which is Moses, who is called the faithful shepherd, and he is the one speaking this verse. Verse 26. Para aduma tamima asher ein bamum v'gomer asur l'charosh v'shabat harisha d'shor t'idbar al gabi harshu chorshim ushkinta tata ai. Para aduma mesitra ligura demima mesitra de chesed dihu darga di Avraham dismar be italech lifane de ye tamima shein ba mum misitra di amuda de emsaita asher lo ala alecha o misitra di shkinta ila adi ihi heru ba'atar di ihi shalta the hazar hakarev late rishu lisitra akara the shalta ala sata vila mashkit vila malach amavet inun lisitra de gehinom al kain re'aya mehemna. The red heifer without defect in which there is no blemish. It is forbidden to plow during the Shabbat with an ox, and plow, as it says, the plowers plowed upon my back, a verse from Psalms. And the lower Shekhinah, which is Malchut, is a red cow from the aspect of Givurah. She is without defect from the aspect of Chesed, which is a level of Abraham, of whom it says, walk before me and be perfect. The Hebrew is tamim, in which there is no blemish. She is from the aspect of the central column, which is Aaron pin that unites her left and right. The verse continues, and upon which never came a yoke, which is from the aspect of the higher Shekhinah. Which is liberty, meaning Bina, at the location where she dominates, which is Malchut, that is comprised of everything mentioned above. And the stranger that comes near shall be put to death. There is no authority for the other side to rule, not for Satan, not for the destroyer, and not for the angel of death, all of which are from the side of Gehinom. That's the end of the section. And this verse is bringing it all into perspective, although it's not a clear perspective, and explaining why the red heifer and what is the red heifer and how the red heifer, it's actually explaining in this verse without saying it why the red heifer makes the person who prepared it impure until the evening, which is the question that people asked and said, it's a hook, we can't understand it. But that is all being hinted at in this verse in the Zohar, because it's saying that it's a mixture of chesed and gevurah. On Shabbat, you can't. It's not appropriate to plow with an ox. It's really not appropriate to plow with anything, but specifically not an ox, because an ox represents harsh judgment. And the idea of partial judgment, sweetening the judgment, this is what these verses are hinting at. And we have to consider before we do them if this is a choice we wish to make. Does anybody have any questions on this section? Go ahead. You just can speak out. If you pressed *6 already, you just need to press *6 again to be heard. I'm not hearing any questions, so I'll just say Shabbat Shalom to everyone.
Shabbat Shalom.
And Shabbat Shalom. Have a beautiful evening.
You too.